105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Funded through Kickstarter and on a tour of UK cinemas throughout the winter, the movie Beyond Clueless is a celebration and examination of the high school film The Teen Drama. Toby Miller has been speaking to the director, Charlie Lyne, and Toby asked Charlie if he was happy calling the films in Beyond Clueless high school films or teen dramas.
Dreams, and most of all, from the movies.
I keep calling it the teen drama, although in actual fact, you know, it isn't really a genre. It's a kind of loose grouping of every imaginable genre. You know, it's one of my favorite things about teen movies is that they can be in one beat a comedy and then the next second a horror movie. And, you know, you've got all these vastly different movies jostling for space inside this one kind of quote unquote genre. But I think what's always interesting about the genre to me and the thing that we were looking for above anything else is that it captures some sense of adolescence, captures people in that awkward phase between childhood and adulthood. And I think you can find that just as easily in, you know, Jeepers Creepers as in something more obviously teen-based like She's All That or whatever else. But the things that tended to pop up time and time again were more kind of aesthetic and thematic. So, you know, regardless of whether it was a horror movie or a comedy or whatever else, it would still have that prom night scene or it would still have that house party scene. And, you know, these things seem to be very enduring.
This vastness of the genre, to stay with that terminology, but do you think it means that the American teen movie, the American high school movie, works as a barometer of how America's currently feeling?
I think to some extent in that it's a good way of taking certainly teenagers' pulse, you know, is by what kind of tone of teen movie you're getting. And you notice in the period that we were looking at quite a sharp shift between, you know, the kinds of movies that were coming out before, like the Columbine high school massacre and the ones that came out afterwards. And there's certainly an awareness of this kind of major event that has had such an impact on teenage life in America. So I think little things like that do tend to bleed into these movies. But I think almost more interesting is how kind of insular they are and how rarely you get a kind of explicit reference to something in the outside world or, you know, a backdrop that is specifically historical. Because I think at their best, these movies are just like little self-contained packages that, you know, are so sort of wrapped up in themselves and their characters and their problems that they kind of have no room for anything else. So I think when those things seep in, it tends to be quite in quite a subtle way.
But equally, I can't think of another genre that is as self-aware as teen movies are.
You know, people often patronizingly perhaps assume that, you know, teenagers just want to watch something aspirational and they, you know, don't really understand what it is that they're watching. But I think there's a real awareness on both sides that when teenagers watch a movie like that, they're kind of watching this heightened version of what they're actually living. And that when people make teen movies, they're aware that they're skewing the reality of teenage life to some extent. So it's certainly a genre that's very wrapped up in itself, not least because of all the incredibly prevalent tropes that pop up in these movies time and time again. You know, I don't think you could be a screenwriter sitting down to write a teen movie and you come to write your, you know, prom night scene and it's very unlikely you're going to be able to do that without thinking like, oh yeah, I remember that prom night scene in She's All That. I remember that prom night scene in Pretty in Pink. And, you know, there's such a kind of canon of these famous tropes that I think it'd be hard to write a teen movie without at least in some way kind of paying tribute to that.
Concentrating on your film specifically, it struck me, and this is in no way a bad thing at all, I can't stress how relieved I was, that it was satisfactorily old-fashioned, I found it. It reminded me of something that I'd like to watch on BBC Four. It reminded me of Jonathan Meade's.
You know, we wanted to make something that was blending two quite different ideas, obviously, you know, like you say, quite an academic study of something and kind of a genre study, but also something that had the kind of heightened emotion and visual sensibility of a teen movie. So it was... It was an interesting balance to find, and one that definitely took us a while. One of the reviews we had when we first premiered the film said that it was like a wildlife documentary set in the world of the teen movie. And I really loved that. You know, this idea is exactly something we were going for, that, you know, the feeling of kind of stepping into a world and observing what's going on around you, albeit a fictional world.
The end credits are the length of a blockbuster, simply because the rights issues mean you have to name every film that you've included, which seems to be well over 100. But the films you actually genuinely you stop and concentrate on, how did you focus on those? Because again, they seem to be films that stand a little bit outside the genre.
We put aside, I would say, 3 or 4 months just for sort of researching and writing and structuring the film. And certainly, you know, in advance, I hadn't decided which films we would really focus in on or, you know, made any kind of conscious decision that they wouldn't necessarily be the big famous kind of tentpole teen movies like, you know, Clueless and Cruel Intentions and those kind of things. But I think as time went on and we started writing and structuring it, it just became apparent that there was much less to say about the, you know, the really famous kind of heavyweight teen movies, because it's already been said. You know, what is there left to say about The Breakfast Club? Personally, I find it much more interesting to kind of look inside those movies that don't know themselves so well, that seem to have slight kind of identity problems, and maybe they have one spark of genius going on over here, but then over here there's just an element that completely doesn't work. And, you know, I think those movies in a way are much more interesting to investigate.
Do you think the genre as a whole plays a role in sanitizing American youth, or is it a good place for American cinema to push boundaries, where it can introduce female characters, it can introduce gay and lesbian characters, it can introduce multiracial romances that maybe more adult films actually struggle with?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of give and take, and it certainly sometimes can feel like, you know, one step forward, two steps back whenever you have a seemingly progressive teen movie that then, you know, maybe conforms to various other stereotypes along the way. But I think one thing that teen movies really do have in their favor is that they are kind of, they're very clearly packaged and often thought of as quite sort of lightweight and insubstantial. And I think that means that perversely, they can get away with perhaps a lot more than movies that are taken a bit more seriously can. Then you actually find these apparently very mainstream traditional films tackling some really bizarre big ideas, you know, barely under the surface. And I think that's a really powerful thing. You know, it gives you the ability to transmit these ideas to an incredibly wide audience rather than just, you know, preaching to the converted. That to me is perhaps the greatest achievement of the teen genre, is that it has managed to get so many fascinating ideas in under the radar.
And that's Toby Miller speaking to Charlie Lyne. He's the director of a documentary, Beyond Clueless. And there's a screening of that documentary, complete with a live director's Q&A afterwards, at the Arts Picture House here at Cambridge on Tuesday, January the 13th. It starts at 8:30, and a rare chance to see the film on the big screen. And by the way, that memorable soundtrack, you might have heard a clip in the introduction there, is by the British band Summer Camp.